Good evening, everyone. Early evening, late afternoon. This is John Jacob Schmidt sitting in for my friend Matt Shea, who is on a speaking tour right now and unable to be here tonight. And he has asked me to sit in for him, and I told him it would be an honor. It's been a couple of months since I've been able to cover Patriot Radio for him, and it's always an honor. We've got a great guest I'll be bringing on here in just a little bit. Today is September 12th. It is the day after a day that has continued and will continue to live in infamy. It is our generation's Pearl Harbor, 9/11, when multiple hijackers flew planes into our buildings, killing thousands of American citizens. So, a lot has been going on during this week in response to that, honoring the fallen. What a strange time that we're living in now, though, where in the last decade and a half, almost two decades, we have this tradition of remembering those who lost their lives on that fateful day. And since then, we've been in this global war on terror, chasing down ISIS, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, removing the threats, the Islamic threats, while simultaneously the previous administration, ran by the president who will not be named, was doing everything he could to Islamify America. Now we have this social political warfare taking place right now, where we have Facebook pages, Twitter pages, commemorating those loss, saying we will not forget, we will always remember 9/11, where these postings are being taken down under the auspices of not offending Muslims. You have 9/11, we remember, or we will never forget, and it's taken down so we'll not offend Muslims. Now, yesterday, I had some folks send me a picture of supposedly taken yesterday of the flag not at half mast in Olympia. This really irked me. Now, I have not been able to independently confirm. The question was raised, why is Governor Inslee not putting our flags at half mast at Olympia? Of course, you know, the discussion that came forward from that was, well, you know, he doesn't care. He's a leftist. He's pro-Islam. He's anti-American. It shouldn't surprise anyone. But at least we should remind him, hey, Governor Inslee, Muslims were killed on that day. Maybe if someone would have reminded him of that, then the flags probably would have been lowered to half-mast. But it's a shame. It's an absolute shame. So, carrying on. The legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the news behind the news and the story behind the story. It's my pleasure to sit in for Representative Matt Shea. If you believe the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and you believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, then my name is your name too. So we'll bring on our guest here just in about 15 minutes. There's some news items that I wanted to cover to bring to your attention. On the international front, we have, actually, you know what? I still have my notes from 2 months ago when I sat in for Matt. So before I get to the international front news, I just wanted to review some of the stuff that we were talking about 2 months ago. Remember when the Oregon senators went in hiding because they refused to participate in an unconstitutional, unlawful scam of voting for this climate change bill? And of course, anybody with a brain knows there's no such thing as man-caused climate change. Now, I know there's some leftists out there in the listening audience. Your head's just exploded. But that's okay. You're going to be all right. There's no such thing as climate change. And I remember just thanking the Lord that there were some elected officials with the backbone to walk away and deny this legislature a quorum so they couldn't vote on this climate change fraud law. But in other things that we were talking about, the Heritage Foundation debating the Cold Civil War, talking about the Cold Civil War that we are in right now. Look around. I mean, we've talked to a lot of people this summer, and people see what's going on. We are already in a Cold Civil War, a political war. We're not talking about a shooting war, but it is clearly a social and political war that we're in. And that was outlined. We talked about that. Talked about, there's so much stuff here in the news, but I want to move on. I want to remind you guys, though, next weekend at the Bonner County Fairgrounds is the Panhandle Preparedness Expo. Several great speakers to get you prepared to be self-reliant, you and your family, your community, to learn about emergency communications and first aid and all the vendors that are going to be there. These are becoming very, very popular. So we're looking forward to that. Authors Glenn Shelby and Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher will be speaking as well. So anyway, it's just a great time to meet a lot of folks and talk to people and help you and give you the resources to become more self-reliant. So make sure to put that on your calendar. That's next Saturday and Sunday at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. I'm trying to get more information on that as well so we can post a flyer. And as most of you know, I have a weekly radio show over at Radio Free Redoubt with a radio show every Saturday morning on the ACN affiliate, KTW out of Spokane, but that would be the Liberty Broadcasting System from 9 to 9:30. And then every Sunday evening is our weekly podcast at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. So we are going to be posting the updates to this Prepper Expo over at RadioFreeRedoubt.com if you want to learn more about where to get more information on that. So, international news. This came out just this week, is breaking. This was reported from RT or Russia Today. Islamists vow campaign for Muslim state. I'm just going to leave that hang there. Where do you think this is? Iraq? Syria? Nope. Belgium. Islamists vow a campaign for Muslim state after Belgian election win. Europe is gone, sadly. They have embraced their conquerors. Now they're in dismay, trying to figure out what to do, but they welcome them in. They created this. I feel sorry for the patriots who loved their country in Germany, in France, in Belgium, in England, that were steamrolled with this agenda to bring in these invaders. And that's clearly what they are. Their agenda, they make very clear. They make no bones about it. So in Belgium now, the Muslim party is campaigning to establish an Islamic state. And they're promoting the establishment of that in what they call their new country, being in Belgium. This is happening all around the world. Europe is the furthest down this road to be being completely wiped out in their culture, their language, their heritage. Let's bring it back on the home front here. They're talking about impeachment, continuing to talk about impeachment. But what's interesting is Speaker Nancy Pelosi is trying to actually hold back the reins. She's saying when people are being impatient, we can't go any faster than the facts. We don't want to go there until we have the facts. Now, she's smarter than she looks, because after time and time again, the facts have shown there has been no Russian collusion. The only Russian collusion that I've been able to find is money given by the Russians to the Clinton Foundation. But time and again, these people are made to look like fools on this witch hunt that they're after. There's a lot of that going on, isn't there? Even locally in District 4 here, there's a witch hunt going on against our own Representative Matt Shea. From the top to the bottom and everywhere in between, the left is on a campaign to try to destroy those who are fighting to preserve, to restore, and preserve American traditional heritage and values. So somebody there has got a little bit of sense anyway, realizing that the left is pushing too fast, too far, and that has helped us actually awaken a lot of Christian patriots across the country. You see what's going on? In fact, this was a great victory in the U.S. House for North Carolina's 9th congressional district. This was a hotly contested race. It was a special election in North Carolina. It's been held sharply by Republicans for decades, and they put up a huge fight to try to take that over. Now they almost did, but the Republican Dan Bishop won with 50.9% of the votes. Dan McCready, the Democrat, got 48.6% of the votes. So, a victory once again. President Trump's not tired of winning. He went down there and campaigned, or he campaigned heavily, and so did Vice President Mike Pence, to keep North Carolina from going completely off the rails and going completely Democrat. We can't say the same for Texas, though. GOP Senator Ted Cruz of Texas told reporters at a Monitor breakfast on Thursday, just yesterday, the suburban voters, in particular suburban women, have been moving left. That's turning states with the big suburban populations, states like Texas, states like Georgia and Arizona, much more purple. And that's what they're talking about. For a long time, political analysts have been projecting that Texas would go blue in a decade. And I remember hearing that 5 or 6 years ago, and we're that close now. And he says, if we lose Texas, it's game over. Game over for the country. The number of electoral college votes that comes out of Texas, they turn that blue. He's right. It's game over. That's not being fatalistic. That's just looking at cold, hard facts. This long-term strategic plan that the Marxist globalists have been implementing right under our noses while the patriots were asleep and refused to fight because they wanted their latte, or they lived in a nice little neighborhood where they feel insulated from this, so they really didn't feel compelled to get involved. One day all that's going to come back to bite the patriots, who were patriotic but not patriots. You know the difference. Someone who's patriotic loves their country. They fly the flag on Memorial Day and on 9/11, on Patriots Day, and they love America. They'll stand and cover their heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance at the opening of a sports game. But that's it. The patriots are engaged. The patriots are in the fight. And sadly, the patriots have been a minority to the patriotic Americans for too long. So now these are the headlines that we are seeing sneaking up on us, that have crept up on us. Here's one that brings us a little closer to home from Jihad Watch. A Michigan church cancels its Michigan. They've got an event that's titled, "Is Michigan Surrendering to Islam?" So this church has canceled this event under pressure from Hamas-linked CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations. Now, how this hits home here in the American Redoubt, inside the free zones, in the State of Liberty, in the inland Pacific Northwest, where the patriots are the majority, conservatives hold the majority. We have a pastor here. He's a friend of mine. He's a good man. He's a former Muslim. Now he's a Christian pastor. And he goes around warning of the dangers of Islam, Pastor Sharam Hadian. He was one of the speakers to this event. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but CARE is one of the unindicted co-conspirators. And why they were not indicted, I don't know. But they are clearly listed as one of the co-conspirators in a Hamas terror funding case in the United States, named so by the Justice Department. So in this weird, strange spiritual warfare debacle that we're in, we have our own countrymen too afraid of offending Muslims, So they will pressure a church to stop an event that's shining light on them and their agenda. So we have a local pastor, Sharam Hadian, Christian, former Muslim, who escaped Iran as a young man with his family, as a boy, actually, when the Islamists took over during the Iranian Revolution. And he's been on the inside, knows what it's like, and he tries to warn people, but now you have this type of pressure. You and I see this, thank God. But it's a matter of waking others up. And if you attempt at all to wake others up, you stand to be label lynched as an Islamophobe or a xenophobe. Nationalism and standing to preserve your heritage or Christian heritage, the thing that makes America exceptional. Now, if you stand for those things, you're label lynched. And unfortunately, now we have, even in the church from the pulpit, we have these teachings that are saying we need to, you know, reach across the aisle and embrace Islam. This Chrislam ideology that Pastor Sharam Hadian talks about a lot. So now we also have those from the pulpit that are saying Christians who are engaged in politics are practicing idolatry. Now, I thank God that the pastors at the founding of this country didn't hold that sentiment. And I would love to put one of these so-called clergy from today that are saying Christians getting involved in politics are practicing idolatry. I would give anything to have a time machine and put those people face to face, nose to nose, with the pastors from the 1700s who were part of the revolution, the Revolutionary War, to make America happen, to fight against tyranny, to fight against lawlessness, who said we need Christian men to stand now more than ever, and they backed them with scripture and solid, sound doctrine. And now how far we've come in 240 years, where now we've got Christian so-called pastors that are accusing Christians who are engaged in our system to try to stand up for the oppressed, to enforce the rule of law and a return to the Constitution, to call us idolatrous. I would love to put these two face to face, sitting at a table across from each other. And I would love to see the behind whooping that would take place from the founders that we're so proud of and grateful for. Anyway, it's time to bring on our guest. This is a great guest. And some of you guys have seen her in the news lately. You have met her at the fair. You've been listening to her public service announcements for months. And over the last month, the host of the brand new Liberty State Radio, also an author of the book, The Perils of Sustainable Development, public speaker. She's been on numerous radio show interviews and podcasts over the years, a leader in the property rights movement and the leader of her group for several years, pushing back against the Department of Ecology. She knows what we're up against. She knows the tools, the tricks, and the techniques that the left uses to rob us of private property. And she has stood toe-to-toe against tyrants and backed them down. But we have a big war ahead of us, one battle after another. This is a war. This is a series of battles fighting for our freedom, right? And we have to be engaged. So it is an honor to bring on our guest, most of you know as Lady Liberty. Lady Liberty, thanks for being with us on Patriot Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a pretty cool treat because you were supposed to be sitting in for, or I'm sitting in for Matt Shea. You're supposed to be talking about Liberty State. And of course, that's something that I'm a huge proponent of, Liberty State. I've actually worked right alongside you In several of the recent county fairs at the end of the summer, including the one that's going on right now in Spokane Valley.
That's right.
So, wow, there's so much to talk about. First of all, for the listener who might be living under a rock and has not heard of Liberty State, can you explain what is Liberty State?
Okay, I'd be happy to. Liberty State is an effort that's been ongoing. The most recent effort, anyway, has been ongoing for the past 2 years. And there's been a large group of us that have been diligently working on all the aspects of getting this accomplished. And what we're doing is we're trying to form a new state called Liberty. And we are following the Constitution outline for being able to do that, which is found in Article 4, Section 3, that says that we can divide the state with simple majority vote in the legislature and then the approval of Congress. And so the past 2 years has been an absolutely outstanding process. Representative Matt Shea is the one that has started this effort, and he is truly the one that is making the difference. We all know that this has been attempted many times in the past and has never really gained any ground. And so the difference now is the leadership. I have to commend the leadership for having an excellent strategy, a very, very well thought out plan. We started with stage one in 2017, and we're now well into stage two. And so he just had an excellent plan, and we're seeing the fruitions of that plan just going great guns right now. And it's become such a popular movement. There's so much momentum going on with this right now. So that's kind of more or less the outline.
Yeah, that's a great start. Now, we talk about the popularity of it, and people have asked, how popular is this? Now, there's two sides to this. There is the mainstream media side of this, what they want you to believe. And then there seems to be the truth as far as how popular this is. So let's talk about that. Earlier, just a year and a half, 2 years ago, there were some polls done. Talk about those. What were the results of those polls?
Okay, there are two local television stations that ran their own polls, and they put out the question to find out, just how much support there actually was for the idea of Liberty State. And they were conducted in such a manner that they were hoping to shame Representative Shea with the very sad and unappreciative numbers and lack of support. And instead, it kind of backfired, and the popularity percentages just shot through the roof. And they pulled the first poll at 75% and the second poll at, I believe, 73%. And so, how high would it have gone had they not pulled the polls, right?
You know?
And so that's an average of 74%, and that's across the entire area that reaches, that those television stations reach in Eastern Washington. So that includes, the broad populace of, you got your Democrats and your Republicans alike. And so where we've seen now an average of 74% support, I'd have to say that's pretty good. And those polls were pulled premature too. So we've had other input where different counties have said, oh my gosh, you say that you've got 74%. We've got 98% in
yes.
our county,
yes.
And so maybe that's what happens when the polls aren't pulled prematurely. So,
well, what's interesting is I think some people are afraid to be free. They're not sure what that looks like. Now, there's been some disinformation in a deliberate and intentional smear campaign, not just a smear article or a hit piece, but this is an ongoing campaign by those who are really, they're afraid of freedom. And so what I have seen, and you tell me what you've seen, I've seen it at all of these events. I've seen at least 90% or more support by the people coming by the booth, the fair booths.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we've been to so many fair booths now. It's not even funny. most of the county volunteer structures have been taking all their volunteer groups and hosting these booths at their local county fairs in each of the counties. And so far, the reports are anywhere, the Spokane County Fair so far has been approximately 98% positive support, enthusiastic support. And everywhere that we've gone, we're just seeing the same thing. Once people know what this is all about, they go, oh my gosh, yeah, we wish that would have happened last year.
Yeah.
And so so what we're seeing, the actuality of what is happening, is a massive amount of support.
Well, I have seen that too. And I you know, I listened to I've listened to all of your podcast, Liberty State Radio podcast. You just came out with number 5. And one of the main issues that has come up a couple of times, especially from some of the local media out of Spokane, is the question about, are you distancing yourself from Representative Matt Shea? But and I love your response, and that is, we are by no means trying to distance ourselves from Representative Matt Shea. In fact, the more the left or the anti-freedom crowd pushes, the more people support Liberty State, Representative Matt Shea just had a record fundraiser, record in attendance and a record in fundraising at that event. People want to elect a representative that's not afraid to fight for them, because there are so few people fighting for them. And that's why he keeps getting reelected. That's why he's going to get reelected again if he chooses to run. I don't know what his ambitions are as far as political office. He's taking a lot of heat right now, but he also has a long track record of fighting through the attacks and coming out the other side stronger. And I expect that we'll see that in this case too. That's the feedback that I've gotten. The people are standing behind him because he's fighting for them, and that's why they keep voting for him. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say that's reflective of how people actually respond when they hear the truth, right? You can tell when you're being deceived, when you're being lied to. And honestly, people are just tired of hearing it. They're tired of hearing half-truths and omitted truths from, the reporting. And you're absolutely right. It actually drives people away to be lied to. And so then once they do find somebody that's actually standing up and speaking the truth, they just flock to them. And Representative Shea is one of those people. People know him, and they know his history. They know that he is known across the whole state, well, even more than just the state. He's known across the whole Western United States for being the guy that will actually stand up for the people for a change.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I've also seen him being reached out to by legislators in other states for advice on how to attack different issues, and legislators within Washington State asking him for guidance on, introducing various different bills. And he's just been, a really valuable asset in that sense for the Patriot community, the long track record, a flawless track record of fighting for the Second Amendment rights, for family rights, for the unborn, for religious freedom and First Amendment rights, just, on and on. So let's go back a couple of weeks ago. There was a Liberty State's first press conference, right, in Moses Lake.
That's right.
That was the first one. Okay, so there's some. Now, you had mentioned that they actually gave some pretty fair coverage, and I would agree, but I don't want to give them that much. Me personally, there were a couple things that I wanted to clear up. First of all, Q6 News said that that these petitions that are being collected right now, we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. You folks that sat up about signing a petition, we're going to give you more information on that. But they said that there has to be 250,000 signatures from all 20 counties by December 13th. But that's not true. That would be for a voters initiative. There is no minimum number of signatures. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay, good. So this campaign's going forward. Now, another thing too, and I want to let you talk, because you are Lady Liberty, the official spokesperson for, for Liberty State. But I don't want to let the spokesman reviews Chad Sokol off the hook so easy, because I know that he misquoted you as saying, calling for liberty or death, right? And then, he corrected that to say that you were actually quoting someone else. That wasn't your statement. But I think an apology is in order, because he can write another subsequent article saying, correctly quoting you or stating that you were quoting someone else. But that's after the damage has been done, because that has been gone out there viral, attributing something to you, you know, saying something that you clearly did not. You were quoting what someone else has said. But anyway, I just want to throw that out there. Chad Sokol, I think you owe Lady Liberty not just a correctional after the fact article. You owe her an apology for the statements, the death threats and things like that that didn't have to happen, because you misquoted somebody. But anyway, that's me. That's how I feel about it. But I thought it was very gracious of you to say, you know, you thought that their reporting was fair. In this press conference, going back to that liberty or death statement, which I think is actually a beautiful, I mean, Patrick Henry said it, right? Give me liberty or give me death.
That's right.
But you were quoting, you know, this is what the Republicans were saying. Wow, when the people find out what happened, they are going to be so upset. That the Republican caucus was saying there's going to be either liberty state or death or bloodshed when the people find out what the Democrats have done and run away with this legislature. Is that right?
Yes. And that was their final summary statement, basically, in their Republican caucus meeting that they held. And, you know, that midway through session, everybody was, you know, having a hard time as it was. And midway, we had 12 representatives on board with supporting Liberty State and out there at one of the rallies on the Capitol stairs speaking to the people in favor of it. And that was only halfway through. They, you know, there was some of them that still had hope that, you know, maybe some of the atrocious bills wouldn't be passed, you know. Right. And so it was by the end of that session, when they got them all passed, they described to me when we all had a large dinner one evening, they described that, oh my gosh, this has been like a bloodbath. They said, this is the worst session we've ever had to experience. And so, you know, their final statement in their caucus when they all had mentioned, yeah, this is so bad, they were actually concerned about what the people would do once they found out about all those bills that were passed. And so that was their statement. They said, boy, there's either going to be bloodshed or Liberty State. And so at that point, at the very end, their support, all their support for Liberty State was, you know, pretty much framed up in that statement.
Yeah. And also, well, and to that, you have been emphasizing the official standpoint, the stance of Liberty State, is that this is a peaceful movement.
Exactly. See, this is almost like an opportunity. You know, what a great timing to have this opportunity already underway, because, you know, here we have all the, you know, communists and socialists in the Democrat Party, and they're passing all these very un-American bills. And lo and behold, we are so blessed to have the Liberty State movement afoot right now that this gives people the opportunity, a peaceful opportunity, on how to respond to what the Democrats just did over there in Olympia this year. You know, so instead of the option of bloodshed or Liberty State, it's more like, well, bloodshed or the peaceful option, the peaceful legal option, according to the Constitution, Article 4, Section 3, that we can just peacefully divide. And by the way, that does end up being a win-win situation for both sides. And we need to emphasize and recognize that.
And that really was your takeaway message that the media missed, I think, in the press conference. And that is that this is a win-win situation, that they get what they want, They want Marxism. They want high taxes. They want all these free services. They want lots of government, and they're willing to pay higher taxes to achieve that. And they don't mind having more control over their lives because they're comfortable in what we would say, they're comfortable in their chains, right? But we don't want those. So we want to be free. We want less government. We want to be able to have the power of our vote in Eastern Washington restored. And that was the whole message. That was my takeaway from that. I think the press missed it on that one.
Right. And so if I could elaborate a little bit, it's very important for them to understand that, when there is an opportunity for both sides to benefit and come out stronger and better on each side, then, that opportunity needs to be addressed and taken as soon as possible. And so what I wanted to point out during that press conference was that Western Washington has continually described Eastern Washington as a heavy burden and a very costly burden. And so, not only that, but they have, severe conflict issues with Representative Matt Shea and the whole freedom agenda that the Republicans are engaged in. And so, they're constantly having to fight that whole freedom agenda. And so I wanted to point out that, this is a win-win situation for them. If we can get them on board and understand that they will get everything they want. They'll have more money. They'll even be able to get rid of the whole Republican freedom agenda if they're just willing to, sign on and reach across the aisle and help us get this accomplished.
Yes, absolutely. Now, some of the feedback that I've heard a few people say, have you heard this? People say, well, I like the idea. Well, they all seem to like the idea, but I don't like the name Liberty. How come it has to be called Liberty? But have you heard that before?
I have heard that. And it just, out of all the complaints to have, I think that's probably the least significant. You know what I mean?
It's like sitting there agonizing over where you're going to put the 51st star.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. And so, here when my property rights group and I have been fighting very, very serious, very detrimental issues against our water rights and our property rights for years now. And then to have somebody say that their biggest concern is the name, yeah. And so it just, it's a little bit humorous to me, but that name came out of a poll that was left up for a year, and I believe over 1,200 people voted on that name out of 12 different names. And so that's not something that we just invented. That was derived from a whole lot of people giving their input and voting on that.
Yeah. Well, and also, this is the banner to fly under right now. Liberty has not become a state yet. There will be a time when that debate could be brought back up and another name could be chosen, correct?
Certainly. I mean, that's what this is all about. This is about restoring the power of our vote and waking people up and saying, oh my gosh, could you even just imagine having the power of your vote restored, where when you finally go to cast your vote, you will actually expect to have it mean something, right? And so, sure. So just imagine all the different things that we can accomplish through our vote again, once we have, established this basis to where, we're not going to be wiped out by a couple little counties in the northwest corner anymore.
Personally, I love the name Liberty. I love the word Liberty. It is, I don't care what the state's called as long as I can be free.
That's right. That is the bottom line right there. That is what matters.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's funny too is that in Washington, they're all in angst over being living in a state named after a white slave owner. This is their big complaint, Washington, right? So, but let's look at the word liberty. From the Law Dictionary, Black's Law Dictionary, it's freedom or exemption from extraneous control, the power of the will in its moral freedom to follow the dictates of its unrestricted choice and to direct the external acts of the individual without restraint, coercion, or control from other persons. We have the exact opposite of liberty in Washington State right now. But of course, even Washington State's constitution, which is beautiful, it's a beautiful document. It's just not being followed. But the Black's Law Dictionary goes on to say the liberty and freedom enjoyed by people do not give them the right to infringe upon the liberty and rights of others. And that's a really important, especially when you talk about the discussion of the right to life. I mean, the liberty to choose unrestricted does not allow you to encroach on the rights of someone else, like an unborn person, to remove their choice, to make that choice whether they live or die for another person. And let's talk about that. Some of the questions that have come up. Are you going to allow homosexual marriage, or are you going to restrict it? Are you going to allow marijuana? Or what about abortion? Of course, you already know that that's someone on the left trying to pick a fight as soon as that's their question, right? The patriots are like, well, what about firearms? Well, so right. The discussion is any firearm you feel necessary to defend your family, your community, your country, anything. What about full auto?
Right. Okay. So basically, Liberty State is going to be truly a constitutional state. We're going to adhere to the law of the Constitution and, you know, the Second Amendment where it says it shall be uninfringed. We're going to uphold that. And as for the other input as to, well, are you guys going to have legal homosexual marriage? Are you going to, you know, these things? All of those issues are not up to the committee and all the volunteers right now that are working to get the new state formed. That's not our job. What our job is to get this accomplished in the legislature and then approved in Congress. That is strictly what we're looking at, as well as writing the Constitution for Liberty State. Now, after we have it established and it's underway, then of course all of those items can be brought up for a vote by the people and decided on in the legislature. So those questions will remain to be answered at that point.
Exactly. So people are asking questions about what laws are going to be passed by a legislature that hasn't even been formed yet.
Right. But we can probably, you know, take a look back over the past 30 years of our voting record and just look at how we've all voted in unison and on those issues. What did our votes look like? I think that's probably the best way to predict what Liberty State and those laws are going to be similar to.
That's a really good point. When I look at the literature and I look at the facts that have been presented, excuse me, you can see a very clear, distinct line dividing the state of Washington. They're saying, well, this you're dividing the state. Well, actually, no, we are already divided. We are already two different states. It's abundantly clear when you look at the voting history, it is already. So it's not about division. It's about unification. It's about unifying the people under the same set of values and ideals and ruling themselves and governing themselves, which is what the founding fathers intended.
Right. And that was another major point in the press conference that we held on the 4th, was that we are recognizing that Eastern Washington is predominantly rural and Western Washington is predominantly urban. And there's nothing wrong with either of those things or those areas being that way. There's nothing wrong with that. However, when all of the rural vote is wiped out by all of the urban vote, the rural people are failing to be represented and have their needs met. I mean, we need a whole different set of things than all of the urban side of the state needs. And so that was another one of my major points, was saying that, you know, we have lost the power of our vote over here. And when the cattlemen need to be able to access water for their cattle, and when the miner needs to be able to access his mind, we can't keep having our votes just flushed down the toilet. And so, you know, I made the comparison that the urban living people, that somebody from Seattle is not going to be able to understand how to make policy that works for a cattleman that needs to calve and raise 1,000 head of cattle over a 10,000 acre lease? You know, how is that Seattle Living person going to have any knowledge about that in a way that he could help that person? He doesn't. There's no way he would be able to represent that person with any kind of knowledge whatsoever. And at the same token, you know, if you had a horse rancher over here on the east side, would that person be able to make policy for a very busy Puget Sound port? No. And of course not. And we wouldn't expect that. And so what we're looking to do and really focus on is the fact that we need to restore the power of our vote as being a local representation of the people and their needs. And so the west side would be able to have their localized vote representing their needs, and the east side would be able to have their localized votes representing their needs as well. So,
yeah, and it is very cultural. It's stark cultural differences, and it makes sense. It's logical. The way it is now makes about as much sense as letting the country of India, you know, vote along with us on issues. We have completely different needs, different culture, different. They need to rule themselves, so that their representatives are representing that culture and that people and their needs. And it makes total sense. And that's all that's being asked of by the proponents of Liberty State, which is anywhere from 70 to 90% of the populace, right, despite what the slipstream news is saying about it. And speaking of the cultural difference too, this was really fascinating to me. Somebody sent the preamble to, they posted it somewhere on social media, and some anti-Christian person came back and said, that sounds pretty inclusive, or pretty exclusive to me. In fact, very exclusive. What about those of us that don't believe in a higher being? And so you're going to force that on us? So I want to read something to you guys. Now, here's the preamble to the Constitution. We, the people of the state, grateful to the supreme ruler of the universe for our liberties, do ordain this Constitution. Now, if they have an issue with this, what I just read to you was the state they want to remain living under. I just read to you the preamble to the Washington State Constitution. Let me read it again. We, the people of the state of Washington, grateful to the supreme ruler of the universe for our liberties, do ordain this Constitution. Now, this was brilliantly presented because they thought that they were reading the preamble to the Liberty State Constitution, and their heads exploded. They want to remain under Washington State. They want to live under the current oppression they're living under by having to live under a constitution that recognizes the supreme ruler of the universe, that they don't want to. Well, that's exclusive. I don't want to live under that. So they're going to fight Liberty State tooth and nail, right? Well, and the Liberty State preamble constitution is nearly identical to this.
Right.
But it's interesting to watch them at war with themselves and everything around them. They're just swinging wildly.
Well, and especially when they're highlighting their ignorance. I mean, right, you know, how unfortunate that person, you know, had such a problem with that, and that they were thinking that was something absolutely radical and brand new and something that should never exist in today's Constitution. And lo and behold, that was the old document, the original. So
exactly. So let me share, if you don't mind, Article 1 from the Declaration of Rights of the Washington State Constitution. That's all political power is inherent in the people, and governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed and are established. That means the government is established to protect and maintain individual rights. But see, they're not doing that. They're not protecting and maintaining individual rights when people's property is being taken away without due process, with these red flag laws, taking their children, taking their land under this climate change hoax or anything else. They are violating the people's rights, the state's duty bound to protect and maintain the individual rights. And they're failing right off the bat in Article 1. We're not even going to go any further into the Constitution. There's thousands of grievous violations where the government in Washington State has failed. They are a failed government when their most fundamental duty, they refuse to carry out. In fact, they violate it regularly. So that's what Liberty State. Now, this is also the discussion. What's to keep? This is a legitimate question from people out there on the street. What's to keep a Liberty State from violating the next constitution?
Well, I can tell you that we've specifically addressed quite a few different articles and sections in the Constitution where they were lacking definition in certain words that allowed kind of grievous interpretation.
What's an example?
Well, like one example would be with the Eighth Amendment. It says excessive bail shall not be required nor excessive fines imposed. Well, what does that mean? Excessive fines imposed.
Subjective. It's just
exactly what excessive is, you know, is something that needed to be defined. And we have defined that so that it's not just a free for all. And, you know, we've watched agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency, as well as the Department of Ecology, just go absolutely overboard with their fines, and people have lost their entire farms to try to pay for those fines. It's absolutely outrageous.
Right, and so this is where they've gotten out of control, and have imposed fines of say $30,000 to $40,000, $50,000 a day on somebody because they built a pond, and then once the value of the fines equal the value of the property, they just escort the families off the property.
Right, exactly.
No, that's covered in your book, actually.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Okay, so there's going to be teeth in this Constitution to go after the bureaucrats or any official working on behalf of the state that knowingly violates the individual rights or the natural rights of the citizens, correct?
That is correct. We're working on verbiage that describes how they will be held accountable, and there will be statements for delineating their punishment process, which is sorely lacking right now.
Against the individual violator?
Again, yes, exactly.
Good. Yep. Good, because right now, when somebody files a lawsuit against a agency, the agency forks out $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to this family. But the individual bureaucrat is not held accountable. And that's what we want to see change. And it's my understanding that has been addressed, and that will be a major change.
Well, bureaucrats as well as elected officials. There have been many elected officials that have violated our constitutional rights, and nothing ever happens to them.
Wow. Okay. Now, we just got, 5 minutes left or so. So real quickly, let's talk about the petitions. The petitions are to be presented at each county to the county commissioners. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And for what purpose? What's going to happen with these?
Okay. So across each of the counties that would be Liberty State, the volunteer groups have been out collecting petition signatures for something that we want to put on an advisory vote in each county. And so there's not a required number of signatures for this advisory vote, because what the advisory vote is basically asking the county commissioners to put a question onto the ballot that says yes or no, do you support Liberty State?
Okay, good. So, yeah, right, because it seems that right now, correct me if I'm wrong, right now, the county commissioners and a lot of state representatives are supportive of Liberty State, but they're kind of afraid. They're not sure if it's going to be popular. They want to be driven by the people, correct?
That is correct. And we are inviting them. We want their input.
Okay, good. So this is going to, it's almost like an official poll. They're going to get a real pulse on whether or not, how much their constituents want this in February. Correct.
Right. And this alleviates all the pressure upon them. This will not reflect upon them at all. This just is something that they are putting a question onto the ballot for us to answer.
Well, it reflects on them in my eyes because it demonstrates a lack of leadership. But that's what the people want. They want leaders. They want leadership. But that's another matter. That's a whole nother show. So how can people sign the petition?
Well, right now, they can run right down to the Spokane County Fair and stop by the Liberty State booth and sign that. We've had tremendous amounts of signatures down there so far. And in fact, people have even been saying, I mean, a lot of people have been saying that they were not even going to go to the fair until they heard that that petition was down there. So they hurried up and went down so they could sign. They went to the fair just to sign that petition.
That is exciting. Now, is there an online petition available yet?
Not yet. While we're busy collecting these at the fair, they're working on that on our website right now, and those should be available. I'm not exactly sure of a date, but they are working on it.
Okay, folks, you heard that. If you have not done so already, get down to the Spokane County Fairgrounds. The fair is going to be going on through Sunday. Join the scores of others who went down to the fairgrounds, paid the entry fee for no other purpose than to make their way to the Liberty State booth, get their name on the signature. There's already, what, probably a couple thousand at least by now, just at the Spokane County Fair. And then what's the website where folks can go to get in touch with their local county reps to track them down anywhere in the state of Liberty to sign the petition?
Well, you could always go to libertystate.org, and I'm not actually sure if they have that information on a page.
Well, they have the contact information, though, to contact their local, their county to get involved, right?
Right, yes. Okay, as far as that goes, yes. And so please do hit the website, and you can check out the latest news as well, and you'll be able to listen to Liberty State broadcast.
Perfect. And let's talk about your book real quick. Where can they go to get a copy of your book, The Perils of Sustainable Development?
They can get a copy at www.libertyagendausa.com.
Outstanding. And also, folks, don't forget to check out libertystate.org to listen to the latest PSA by Lady Liberty or the weekly Liberty State Radio podcast. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You be blessed, and may he make this generation the greatest generation.